Good evening and welcome to a special episode of Anan Podcast, shooting here live at El Bujairi during MGF 2023. I'm very glad to be sharing the stage today with Dr. Khalid Ghattas, a scientist, a researcher and an entrepreneur. Ahla wa sahla, Doctor.
Ahlan fiki, thank you so much.
It's great to have you with us.
Allah, it's great to be here.
So, Dr. Khalid, while I was looking at your history, to be honest, I was incredibly surprised. I never knew you come from a biology and chemistry background. I've always seen your work in this snippets and tidbits of advice that I would receive as if receiving from a friend. Tell me a little bit about the background that you have. I think a lot of people don't know that about you, maybe.
Yeah, so I think it's because of the things that I touch upon. So I touch upon a lot of human behavior, some philosophy, some human relationships, and so on. But my I would say my education was mostly science. So my PhD is in cell and molecular biology, breast cancer metastasis. So that's where my research is, basically. Before that, I was a chemist, so a few publications in analytical chemistry and organic chemistry. But my trend have always been moving towards human beings, because that's, I think, we are the ones who create the world. We are the ones, not create, let me correct. So we are the ones who generate the world that we live in. Mm. So, and that really fascinates me. So the human mind, the way we think, the way we deal with each other. So all of these are actually things that I think in the last years we sort of forgot them. So I wanted to shed light back on our human nature. Mm. Yeah.
So what inspired you to take to the camera first, and how did you start?
Yeah. So actually, I never thought that I could be able to speak to a camera. Some people don't know this about me. I'm a relatively shy person. So I'm an introvert big time.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think it's when you have really something that you long for, something that nowadays we're calling this, what hurts is that every word becomes a buzzword and then it loses its meaning. Now the word I'm looking for is purpose. Now everyone is saying it, so it's sort of lost some of its authenticity. But what I want to say is that when you think you have a purpose that is higher than you, that something that you have to do, no matter who you are or no matter what your skill set are, you just go ahead. So I thought there was a lot of things that needed correcting, or it needed a nudge. I would say, like, people needed a nudge in another direction. Mm. So I think that was the motivation. And I started like 7-8 years back. I only gained this fame in the last 2 years, but it's been 7 years on social media. Before that, I think throughout my life, I was saying the same things. Now it gained traction. I don't know why, but I think now we realize that there is a lot to, that we need to reconsider in our modern way of living. Mm. So there was a lot of concepts that people talk about, they don't really get the meaning, but they're really impactful on our lives, on our societies, on our youth.
Right.
The way our youth generate their life, the way they think of the puzzle of life, it needed a lot of,
redirection, maybe?
Yeah. Just focus, actually. Mm. When you bring focus, things happen. You know, focus is like this light. When it's all over the place, you miss some important points. When you focus, and then you start resolving things because you can see it properly. So that's what I try to do, basically. Yeah.
And how do you decide on the concepts and things that you speak about in the content that you create? I mean, be it your writings, be it the videos that you create. How do you decide what is important in that given point of time?
Yeah, so I tend to think of what is most, my mind works in a way where we should negate certain things. So when I see something that is totally spreading and it has no scientific basis or it has no cultural basis, or it fights certain concepts or values or traditions that we have. And I see this huge trend. Usually my mind starts working to see what are the weak points in these things, and to shed light on their weak points. So that's how my mind works. So when I see something that is spreading, for example, individuality, for example, the concept of I don't know, that some people say their parents are toxic, some people don't like their countries, all of these trigger me, and I try to do some corrections or some balance. So the way I describe what I do is that when I see something that has lost balance in one or in another direction, I try to bring it back. Now this sounds too abstract, right? But it's highly I think it's highly concrete.
So I think from the way you're just describing it, and I think, you know, I refer to these things as conceptual wars, right? Now I think we're living in an era where there's a lot of shift and a lot of transformation, but we also need to be aware of the conceptual wars that we're facing, and that will ultimately impact the way that we raise our children, 100%. The way that they will eventually end up raising their children. So I want to get your take on how you think we need to, or how we can stay aligned to our core values as a very unique Arab culture and community.
Yeah, so in one of my sessions in MISC, I mentioned this specifically, that we sort of miss certain concepts. For example, the concept of being open. People think that being open is like having no identity, which shouldn't be the case. You can be totally open, totally understanding, totally diverse in your mentality and your acceptance and so on, but you still have your identity, and you define yourself, and you هلا بالعربي اسمها انتاج الحياة. I don't know, in English it's coming creating your life, but it's not the case. I mean, the way you produce your life, it's maybe it's going to be lost in translation, but the way we build up our life has to come from who we really are. And who we really are has different factors: our culture, our tradition, our countries, our religion, and so on. I mean, this part of the world is very, as you said, so I love the word, it's a unique individual. Yani we are unique individuals, like any other culture. And that's where we need to focus, or we need to draw attention to. Plus, this should not make us miss any opportunity of being the leaders of the world, or to generate how the world should actually move. Because now I think the whole world need us now, need our values. It needs our the way we think of family, the way we think of friendship, the way we think of building a future, the way we think about belonging. All
it
of these
grounds you
of
say.
Course, all of these are highly needed for the human, for the current human in this modern world. So, and that's where we need, and I think that's the way for us to excel and to lead the world. It's an important pillar.
Yeah. What are your personal core fundamental pillars that you live by?
Yeah, so one of course, one main one which I think should always be there is the family. This is extremely important. Something that I fight so intensely is the idea of individuality. Like when you think of yourself as an individual, that you exist on your own. This is really a destructive concept in my opinion.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Tell me a little bit more about that, because I think would be of interest to our viewers.
Exactly.
So who are primarily youth and primarily thinking about themselves and their place in the world and how they can. It's primarily the drive is individual.
Okay, so the way you put it made me, it makes me, there is a need to clarify more. So individuality doesn't mean that, lack of individuality does not mean that you actually forget yourself at all. You still exist. The strength is that you exist as an individual within a society.
Collective.
Exactly, within a collective. You cannot think of yourself as one only, and then you generate your life, or the governing concepts of your life are coming from the standards that you see right at any point in time. This doesn't work. This doesn't work in a society. You see, especially in a society like ours. So now, definitely our parents have a huge influence on us. And this, and here there is a, I would say there is a conflict, and it's not smooth in these days between the parents and the children, specifically at certain age, or maybe the youth are also having challenges in that perspective. So individualism, again, it's about running out of everything that could frame you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also destructive, because you live within a family, you live within an organization, you live within a company, you live within a set of friends, you live within a country, you live within a region, and all of that, you need to find where do you suit and how you can contribute.
Mm.
Because extreme individualism will make you just quit everything and sit.
I love that. I love that you said where you can contribute as well. And I think a big part of the struggles that come with youth today is the fact that they're trying to prove themselves and their standing within their families, within their cultures, within their societies, and so on, but might not necessarily be able to articulate what their contribution is, and therefore it might sound as if it's pure individualism.
Yeah.
So what would you say to youth in terms of how they can gracefully bring along the collective towards their ultimate aspirations, where they don't feel like they need to do it individually, they need to break away from the herd? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, so I tend to refrain from giving advice, as you were just discussing. But I think when we flip the coin, no matter what you want to succeed in, the opinion of the others is very important.
Mm.
No matter what you want to succeed, if you're creating a product, okay, if you're drawing a piece of art, if you're designing a house, whatever you want to succeed in, the opinion of the other, whoever the other is extremely important. And when you always are stuck within yourself, this limits you big time. And you cannot even think of success without considering the others. Now we classify the others. Others can be the closest ones, your mom, your dad, or those who are telling you, don't do that, but do that. Don't go to university to do this. Do this. You cannot be a TikToker only. You have to finish your school. So, and then these are part of the others. You need to consider that as one opinion, and it's a highly influential opinion on you, on whether you will love or you resent what you're doing. It's partially from this feedback from people who are really close to you. They impact you big time. And then when you go I would say further in the cycles around you, also their input is highly important for your success, whether they will support you or not, they will be part of what you want to do or not. So thinking of yourself as a contributor to the collective, or as an agent for as much as you can of people, it will make you succeed way more faster in a different way. Yani when they ask me, let me just a few examples.
Sure.
When they ask me what, or actually one of the good descriptions I liked about myself, people were describing me with it, is that they said, you are the voice of the silent majority.
Mm.
And I love that. So it says what? It says that you can feel us. And because you can feel us, you spoke our feeling, and that's
our
why
truth.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why we sort of like you.
We sort of
exactly.
I and like this, the sort of like.
I mean, it's and this should, I mean, this opens our minds to the idea that when you are empathetic enough, when you think of the other, because the voice of the silent majority, it tells you that you get us, you understand us, and that's the core point.
Yani, the connection.
Exactly.
The human connection.
Definitely. And to do that for the youth now, go back to the advice, is that they need to slow down a bit. They need to understand the people around them a bit. They need to understand when their mom is shouting on them, why? When their dad
she's
wants
not just being mean.
Exactly.
As a mom now, I can relate to what my mom was doing.
I mean, it's definitely the first thing is that you need to slow down to understand, because we react before understanding. Mm. So we need to slow down, calm ourselves down, and to understand the
take
world.
A chill pill.
Of course, and understand the world around us. Because most of our life is around us. So if we focus properly, if we slow down, if we observe properly, if we calm ourselves down, and we don't follow the hypes.
Mm, you know, there the trends.
Of course, there are social hypes that would definitely take you to things that, and then you discover, this is not me. And
I've drifted.
Exactly. Mm. So slowing down in this time is just the magic pill.
And I mean, it sounds simple when you say it, but I think it's very complicated for youth today, given the pace of life that we have. And I always say, I'm glad I'm not a teenager in this day and age, but I will need to raise a teenager in this day and age. So it is a pretty big challenge to stay rooted. And I think that's where what you mentioned in terms of rooting yourself down, grounding yourself to family. What are your roots? Who are the people around you that keep you grounded?
Yeah, so I think at each stage I had quite a few. Yeah, when I was at the university, there was my professors and then my friends. But the main root, Allah yahmiya khaliya, is my mom.
Yani, yeah.
So that's yani, before I usually discuss everything of what I'm gonna say, even though it's sometimes science, sometimes human behavior, sometimes very
moms
rarely.
Moms know all those things.
I don't know how though.
But I know, it's like a God-given gift.
No, I mean she still anchors me, and of course now I'm surrounded. I have an initiative in Lebanon. I called it Lwershe. So I have a bunch of youth. And now they are becoming my anchor. And they also give me advice. I seek their opinion in 80% of my decision, whether personal, business, and the like. Because now the youngsters, they do, whether we agree or we don't agree, they have seen a different world.
Yes.
With I would say with an interval of 2 years.
Yes.
Yani now the one who's 16 has seen a different world than the one who's 14, and then because the pace of change in this world is just quite,
it's phenomenal.
Of course. And this is an opportunity to actually understand how each and every one of us sees the world.
Mm.
And sees and also sees.
Right.
So all of these actually anchor me, and I think I've been quite consistent in my messages. So technology, we have to make sure that technology is still a tool, and the center of this planet is the human being. So everything that serves the human being is good. Everything that the human being serves is, we need to think properly. So when your phone is a tool, you're fine. When your phone is your purpose, and by phone I mean social media,
right.
By phone
absolutely.
I mean all the notifications, by phone I mean even the money. So the most important, I would say, the most important creature is the human being.
Mm.
So when this is still at the center, then we're still fine, we're still safe. Now I don't think it is at the center. So in I would say in most of the people that I meet now, the purpose has shifted. Yeah, mm. People take, research says that one of the top five things that people think about is their relationships.
Their relationships. With?
Relationship with the people they love, with their
yes.
parents, with their family, with their friends, with their bosses. You know, even in your career, it's a relationship.
Yes,
your relationship
absolutely.
With your peers, with but the human relationship.
صح.
And this is the least thing that they actually plan correctly, or they actually do the right effort to have it done properly, and to, because imagine now it's too important for us, and we do the least effort for it. So this discrepancy actually causes us to be not in harmony, not in total harmony.
Do you think it's taking those relationships for granted as if they're a given, and that's why you don't feel the need to invest in them as much as you would in your career?
Yeah, I think previously it was the only option that you invest in these. Now, because you dilute your attention, you dilute your focus, important things get diluted as well. So my talk at MISC was actually titled Too Many Tabs.
Too Many Tabs.
Yeah, so when you open too many tabs, what happens on the desktop? Each tab becomes smaller, 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 and that's how you have too many tabs. So we need to focus on these important things, whether we are a parent to a child. This is extremely important, you know. Depression and mental,
well-being.
Yeah, mental well-being and the like are highly hereditary, whether in genes or in the environment. So when you have depressed parents, most likely you will have depressed children.
I never knew it was also from
it's
the environment.
It's acquired, not even genetically. When you have a depressed mom, most likely you will have a depressed child or teen and
over
so
time.
On. Exactly. And now this is going too quickly. And there are things that we need to fix. Probably we're not using the current tools in this life to make us and to deal with life in a better way. So that needs immediate action. And I see that action now. But it's important to focus on that. And what makes people have a decent, proper life, again, is the relationships. And to link it to how we started, individualism breaks this. It breaks one of the most important things of the human identity. It breaks the relationships that we have. So we need to strike the right balance.
Yeah, I think that's so it's on the personal side as well as on the business side.
Of course,
I think the loss of human connection, sometimes when we look at numbers, figures, data, statistics, we're making decisions based on that.
What you said brought another example to my mind. So I do sometimes I do some consulting for the family businesses, specifically here in Saudi. And you see, like, the old generation in the organization, they're totally loyal, as if they're part of the family, despite that they're not the owners. Because of the personal connection they build with the founder, with the owner, with his, with the family, with the owners, I mean. But then you need to structure that. And then structure, what does it do? It limits.
It diminishes personal, the interface.
Exactly. And maybe this works in other cultures, but for us, it doesn't. So I don't think it works at all, because the human being is always the same. Yani wherever you put a human being, we need to connect with people. So that's extremely important. But again, when you grow, it becomes too hard. Now apply this not from a family business that grows, apply it to the whole world. When the world grows, when your life has become too exposed and you need to achieve 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you tend to lose these close connections. So yesterday I had another session again in FOMO versus JOMO. Is that?
Oh, no. You did a few sessions.
Oh yeah. So in that session we discussed that even the number of friends has diminished.
Right.
Research says the number of close friends has went down significantly since the 80s, and then now we tend off, and even the concept of friendships. Imagine, I cannot believe that we mention these things and we
live in this reality,
exactly,
and it's fine.
It's unbelievable. When we're saying that now, the friendship is a concept that is being diluted to an extent that it might go.
Yeah.
So imagine this. So friendship. Parenthood, family, connection, all of these are who we are. Yani, I don't know what we are doing. Of course, they are the jawhar, they are the recipe of a good life. You know, I always refer to this research. It's quite famous research. It's called the Harvard study. With the
capital
Z. Exactly, the Harvard study.
Okay.
It's the longest study It's 75 years. I think by now it's more than 75 years. When I used to say that, it was 75 years, the span of this of the study.
So they looked at the same people over time.
Exactly.
And, they said, okay.
And what is the element of a good life? After 75 years, you know, researchers live and die and they study these people.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
And then the outcome is friends and family are the elements of a good life. Friends and family are the elements or the recipe of a good life. And we hear these things as if, okay, خلاص, بس شو بدنا نعمل؟ لا, شو بدنا نعمل? No, we have to do
right.
something. يعني. We have to stick to these things.
I think it's not just the diminishing number of friends.
Even the quality.
I think the concept.
Of course.
The concept, you know, this is a debate I always have. I'm very particular about calling acquaintances
oh,
and friends 100%, friends. 100%. Because it makes a world of a difference
of course.
How you're positioned.
My first book, it's called The Wakana Nifaq Jamila. So I actually wrote the first chapter of it in English. And then I changed it to Arabic. And it was called my Facebook homepage.
Okay.
So, and I discussed it as if, like, my Facebook homepage has redefined, I think now it's common knowledge, when I wrote it, it was a bit early to discover these things. It has redefined what a friend is.
صح.
And it's also scary.
That's like that guy that used to. There was a guy that went around with posters saying, "Do you want to be my friend?"
Exactly.
And then it's a similar
exactly.
concept.
Yeah.
No, I think I think it's very important to define who those people are. And you know, you mentioned that your mom is one of those anchors, and you have different people in your life that give
yes,
you that.
Yes.
I think that's imperative. I'm curious, Dr. Khalid. Given that I had no idea of your background and that we've touched on culture and identity a little bit, how do you keep those parts of yourself categorized so differently? Or does one feed into the other?
No, I don't think they're categorized. I think it's at the end I'm one person. So the way you see me behave, whether in my I used to be the general manager of a pharma company in a corporate world or in an entrepreneurial setup where I am now, or in my talks or the way I write, it's a cohesive. It's a harmonized package. Yeah, and I think one feeds into the other, and it. If I have to give one advice that is really meaningful, I think it is really meaningful. This one, I would say it, I won't be too humble about it. It is really meaningful. Is that we should build ourselves from different aspects. يعني don't go to one source and this source defines you totally. I'll give you an example where it becomes more, I think, clearer. يعني it's sort of don't be a nerd in one thing.
Okay.
Not even in studying, not even in sports, not even in religion, not in anything. يعني build yourself, specifically at a younger age, build yourself from different components.
Holistically.
Yeah, from different components and accept to change. Accept to change. يعني if I use myself as an example, I studied chemistry and then biology and then business and then human behavior and then psychology a bit. And now I discovered that I have... يعني I would love to write, and all of these, they come together when you need them. So, but if you spend your life, like you go into university, you do one major, you then master's in it, and then PhD in it, and you work in it, and then everything that is outside of this, I would say, closed brackets for you, then what will you achieve? So, and again, it redirects us to the notion of creativity. Creativity is building different things or an engagement of different set of ideas with each other, and then you can be creative. And you can rarely be creative when you are too
narrow.
Focused.
Yeah.
And this has always been the case. يعني if you read most of our philosophers or poets or leaders, they know music, they know philosophy, they know religion, they are fighters, they are sportsmen, they are leaders. So, and all of that is extremely important. It gives you another dimension, and you will be more appealing to yourself and to the society.
Others. I think that advice will... يريح and comfort a lot of youth, because I think they're super focused about how can I succeed? Yeah, yeah, how can I be the best in my field? How can I find out what my... Let me tell you a story. Me and my daughter this summer, she was five at the time. We were walking around, we were traveling, and she looks worried. So I say, Talia, what are you thinking? She's like, I'm really worried. I'm like, what are you worried about? She's like, I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up.
Imagine.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
yes.
I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. So I think, and I don't know, honestly, it made me stop and pause and wonder how did that thought even come to her mind? Mm-hmm. No one is putting this kind of pressure on mm-hmm. her. So I can only imagine the people who have this kind of pressure, what they're going through. And I think that's very valuable advice that you've given us.
Of course. And it works both ways. Huh? It works towards the future and towards the past. Meaning, people who are deeply hurt, it's because they look at the past and they see of themselves as one story. Mm. For example, a lady that has went through a divorce, when you ask her about her past, all what she recalls is that she's divorced.
Right.
Okay? Or a man who's been heartbroken. All what he recalls from his past is that one story. And that's how you decide and you determine that this person is not able to move on. Why? Because his identity is determined for one story.
Mm.
Now imagine if the story is in the future. When you look at the past, you define yourself one
story.
So
you're still nobody until you get there.
Exactly. And then you're still nobody until you get there. Oh. And now the real issue is when you get there and you find that it's not that interesting.
Yeah.
As you've put yes. it, because there is also a limitation in imagination. Imagination builds things for you, but imagination itself has limited power to paint the whole picture for you. Because when you imagine something, you usually imagine one variable. You cannot imagine all the setup.
And you glorify that variable.
Exactly. So I said an example yesterday. I wanted to go have some peace. So I went to Medina to the Prophet Muhammad. I went there and I really, my imagination, because I was feeling horrible. And my imagination, I want to be there so I can rest.
Mm.
And I can be relaxed and so on.
And feel better.
Exactly. So that's what my imagination drew for me, which is totally accurate
yes.
from where I'm standing. But then when you go there, you start testing the reality. Oh, the hotel room is not that nice. Where
it's
should
crowded,
I
it's
exactly?
Hot.
Where should I put my things here, there, that? And then you lose a lot of this
versus
the image versus the what your imagination has built for you. And now it takes time to rethink or to bring your awareness to expand your reality, your now and then.
Readjust to the now.
Exactly, to readjust. So again, that part is also important. When you see, for the youth, when you see what you want to be, most likely your imagination is only telling you one variable or maximum two, three variables. But it will miss other things that will make you have a different experience totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's incredible advice.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Khalid. It was an absolute pleasure
having
this conversation. Saraha, the time flew by. Thank you very much.
Thank
and inshallah,
so
we look forward to having you here again.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.